Hello and welcome to another edition of Forkful of Noodles. I am Krish Mohan. There's a new term out there that's all the rage since Trump's election. The alt-right. Alright, let's call it what it is. White supremacy. You know, man, I'm really tired of these new labels that come out to try to take the sting out of awful human concepts like white supremacy. I mean, alt-right sounds like a new genre of rock music, right? And you get excited because maybe it sounds similar to Vampire Weekend or the Black Keys. Really, we're being realistic, White Stripes, but then they start singing their new hit song, Where is the Jew Gold, and the Black Illuminati, and then everything is ruined. Like, music, and dancing, and everything that is based out of fun is just ruined. One of the major spearheaders of the alt-right movement is Richard Spencer from the National Policy Institute. Oh man, even that sounds like it couldn't be that harmful, right? They're creating policies that are supposed to help the nation, and then they speak, and it's all about how the European white men should be taking what's theirs, which they think is everything. They think everything is theirs. Spencer literally says his dream is to have a gathering point for all Europeans, basically saying that all Europeans are white. Okay, so let's start with the fact that the founding fathers of this nation wanted to fight those oppressive Europeans. In fact, they were fighting so hard that they did not want to be Europeans. In fact, they wanted to make this country a gathering place for everyone but Europeans. So Spencer and all the white supremacists are actually anti-American. Okay, so let's move on to the fact that Spain is in Europe. And Spain has a lot of gorgeous brown people and a lot of black bulls. And that sure puts a damper on that whole white supremacy based around European values thing, right? I mean, looks like Spencer didn't do enough research in his fourth grade geography class for him to think of all the fallacies in his racist thesis statement. Also, Europe has black citizens. But I know why they're claiming to this idea of European centrism, because it really mucks up that racism argument. And that term has been thrown around all the time. I mean, it has gotten a pretty bad rap in the, let's say minimum 151 years. I mean, now it's like everything can make you racist, right? I mean, it's gotten so bad that people can't ask me questions about growing up in India because they're afraid that it makes them look racist. What? No, that's just curiosity. Unless you come up to me and say, hey, all you dotheads lick cows to gain their strengths, don't ya? Well, shit, that's only racist because of the term dothead. Overall, it's just a really bizarre question, and I'm really curious as to how you came up with that idea. But then Spencer goes on to say that he's calling for a peaceful ethnic cleansing. Boy, these guys are really out of ideas, huh? Look, man, that didn't work like 80 years ago, so why would you think it would work now? I mean, sure, yeah, back then it wasn't all that peaceful, but I'm sure the problem with internment camps and ethnic cleansing isn't the missing P's and Q's. It's the fact that cleansing usually means murdering people that aren't Aryan. You guys missed that whole presentation on how to be subtle with your discriminatory beliefs, huh? I mean, you can't claim that you're not racist anymore. Cleansing minorities, no matter how you cut it, is super racist. Even Hitler would be like, yeah, that's pretty racist. Richard Spencer also questions whether Jews are people. What an unoriginal thought. I mean, we've tried this before, and it didn't take, Richard. Okay, also, Spencer describes them to be soulless golems, right? I mean, historically speaking, we've never seen a golem, like ever. Unless you're talking about the Lord of the Rings character, and if you think that's where the stereotype of the Jew Gold comes from, then there is a major fallacy there, because at the end of that very long movie, Gollum dies without having kids. Also, hypothetically, let's say there are golems. How do we know they're soulless? When machines become sentient, eventually they develop the idea of a soul. So, if golems are soulless, then don't you think that in over 2,000 years they would acquire a soul? Plus, you're going to have to describe what a white supremacist actually thinks a soul is. And while they're ripping off ideas, they probably think it's that white floaty thing that comes out of your body after you die. The idea of a soul for a white supremacist is basically Casper the Friendly Ghost. Old Spence continues to say that till this past generation, America was a white country designed for ourselves and our posterity. No, it wasn't. The Constitution of this country says that all men are created equal. That includes the black people that didn't ask to be brought here, and the brown people and the native people that the Founding Fathers stole this land from. The country has been a mixed bag of M&Ms for over 300 years. So that statement is historically inaccurate. Shit, even if you believe that the Earth is 6,000 years old, it still doesn't change those facts. Which means that creationists are less wrong than you. He goes on and says, it is our creation, it is our inheritance, and it belongs to us. So basically, you've denounced God, since apparently the white man has created America and land, which goes to show that even atheists can be racist. Mr. Spencer, the Earth is speculated to be created approximately 4 billion years ago, you know, when space dust was spinning around itself and created a gravitational field, and then coalesced together. And I'm pretty sure it didn't give two shits whether its eventual inhabitants were white, black, or purple. All it wanted to do was cool down, and it really hoped that it got a moon. All of these white supremacist groups are now out in the light because of Trump's election and his announcement of Steve Bannon from the alt-right paper Breitbart being his chief strategist. But Trump just denounced and condemned these groups in a recent New York Times interview. I guess the failing New York Times just showed his loudest supporters that he's going to fail them. Now, I kind of feel bad for Trump, because I don't think he realized the base that he was going to have to answer to. Right? I bet he's got his tiny hands on his giant head, which just make his tiny hands look even smaller. Just going, oh shit, I did not think this was who I was going to give the baton of power to. I just thought that maybe I could get some dummies to buy more ties over the course of 4 years and maybe get a guest appearance on every single reality show over the course of 4 years so that people remember me as the coolest person on the planet. Now, the thought is that the addition of Steve Bannon to Trump's cabinet is really what sparked these white supremacists. And that's probably true, but Bannon himself is probably not as extreme about ethnic cleansing as the groups he's placated to. Ben Shapiro, a former editor of Breitbart, recently said that Bannon is a very, very power-hungry dude that is willing to use anybody and anything to really get ahead. I mean, really, the only thing Steve Bannon wants to cleanse is the wallets of white supremacists. But does the fact that he takes advantage of these racists and doesn't really go against any of their rhetoric make him racist? I mean, that's an interesting conundrum. On one hand, I want to see these guys burn their money on basically racist clickbait articles. But on the other hand, it's validating their belief systems based on logical fallacies. Oh, I just can't make up my mind. You know, broke racists that can't afford a conference room for their Nazi rallies, or have them be quiet and go back into hiding. It's a tough one. I mean, broke racists is a little bit more appealing, but then they'll just blame the Mexicans. Okay, so these groups are now out in the open because they feel like it's their time again. But, I mean, it kind of feels like we're in a superhero movie where for the last 8 years we've been preparing for this big force of evil to come at us. And now that it's here, we're all just yelling that it's here. Alright, so what the hell do we do about this? Educate and inform yourself of what these guys really believe. You'll probably find that it's no different than things that happened 80, 90 years ago. I mean, human beings have yet to prove that they learn from their history. And now that we know that we're not learning from our history, let's learn from our history! Now, the one thing of value that Spencer did point out was the fact that liberals will blindly quote John Oliver without having any other thoughts behind it. And don't worry, conservatives do that with Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity. And an apathetic person will just click share on a meme because it had a picture of a gorilla on it. But you don't really read the full story or look into opposing viewpoints to see if there's anything of actual value there. We just hook on to buzzwords, headlines, and bold letters. In an interview with News One's Roland Martin, Richard Spencer claims that the system that made America the best, like, you know, free labor and letting capitalism run amok, was created by Europeans because they're geniuses. And he also says that he's against things like slavery. So Richard's caught in this brain web of hypocrisy that if he admits to might just catch his head on fire, like the crosses that certain supremacist groups like to burn. I mean, if you really want to watch a breakdown of someone eating their own words as they're vomiting it out, watch that interview. So, based on the fact that Richard Spencer's belief systems are riddled with hypocrisies, is it possible that he's no different than Bannon or Trump? Spencer is just exploiting humanity's need for heroes. You know, the left did it with Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, and white supremacists have this J. Crew haircut, Steve Bannon, and that orange wig in the White House. Richard Spencer is another representation of someone claiming that white people are being taken out of society because of things seeming to even out a little bit in terms of jobs and opportunities. Where were the white nationalists when black people were considered to be three-fifths of a person? Or at the fact that women get paid 70% of a salary that a man makes for the same job? Or the fact that the immigration system is so convoluted that the only way that you can actually make it into this country is to be the best in your country, just so you can come here to struggle and be mediocre in this country. In order for equality to happen, that means that the quality of life for one side rises and then the other side comes down. Then we can all try to make it to the top. So, how do you combat propaganda that is out to exploit dying ideologies? Education. If we can arm ourselves with knowledge, then we can at least engage in the fallacies of their belief system that's rooted in hate but claims that it isn't. Shine a light and hold a mirror against it. At this point, no one is really taking the opportunity to talk to a racist and find out why they believe what they believe and maybe enlighten them on the cool shit minorities have done for them over, I don't know, centuries. If you can educate yourself, then you can educate others and open a dialogue that doesn't end in cleansing of any sort. Well, maybe cleansing ignorance. You know, perhaps these white supremacists should hear a presentation on how all humans came from a valley in Africa. You know, where black people live. We found Lucy, the oldest fossil connected to human beings in Africa. I mean, for fuck's sake, the scientists gave her a white lady's name to try to get racists to listen to science. The point of life is to mix and match, not to sterilize and base your judgments of someone on a small, trivial aspect of who they are. I mean, if you really want to beat this old idea that's full of holes, then educate each other and open a dialogue. Perhaps then we can actually start to evolve past the point of skin color to a point where we value intellect and thought to progress society. That's been your Forkful of Noodles for this week. Thank you for tuning in. I have live stand-up comedy dates coming up in Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Indianapolis, Detroit, Michigan, and Lafayette, Indiana. You can see all my upcoming tour dates for the end of this year and into 2017 on my website at ramennoodlescomedy.com. You can also check out all my stand-up comedy albums there. And right now, if you use the code Krishmas, that's K-R-I-S-H-M-A-S, you get a discount on Bandcamp. And you can check out all of those at ramennoodlescomedy.bandcamp.com. And if you would like to support DIY projects like this web series, my podcast, and socially conscious stand-up comedy, you can donate to my Patreon at patreon.com/krishmohan. Ha ha. Check out all the links below and check out that interview with Roland Martin. It's spectacular. I think you guys will really enjoy it. Thanks for getting into it.